Okay, let's begin. So today's daf is Chof Hey. So a lot to do today, I will say. So we left off yesterday. The Ilotema Hachi, kind of like a book in the middle of something. So three lines are from the bottom of Chof Dalit Amud Beis. So we'll say, remember again, the Gemara was trying to figure out what Kohanic behaviors ultimately serve as a proof to one, or I should say differently, what Kohanic behaviors, if any, serve as a proof to one's Kohanic position. So the Gemara wanted to bring a raya from this episode where the people came back, the Kohanim came back with Ezra, and Nehemiah tells them that, look, if you want to go ahead and you want to eat sacrificial items, so you're going to need to go ahead and bring some kind of documentation that you have not corrupted your familial lines. And the ones who were unable to go ahead and bring some type of written documentation, so they were able to continue to eat truma, but they were not able to go ahead and eat any kind of sacrificial items. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, so the Gemara wanted to say that you see from here that just because someone duchens doesn't automatically mean that you could establish their yichus as a kohen. And the proof to that is because these kohanim were coming back from Bavel, they were permitted to duchen, but yet again we see that their yichus was compromised. So what do you see from here? That lamais at the end of the day, duchening does not establish yichus, to which the Gemara answered, no, you can't bring a raya here. Why? Dereach es kayu, because everyone knew that these families, their chazaka was compromised. So therefore, even if people saw them duchening or anything else, no one was going to go and establish their yichus based on that, because people knew that the yichus was already compromised. Because if you don't say this, so according to Mandamu, who says that if a kohen eats truma, that is enough of an attestation to his yichus. I could say in this case over here, Kevan da'achli b'truma asid asakinu. Remember again, these kohanim that Hatirshasa, that Nehemiah said, could not eat sacrificial items, were permitted to go ahead and eat truma. So you clearly see from here, Ela lav mishum d'reyach eskayu. But rather, the reason we're willing to let them eat truma was why? Because their chazaka was compromised. Because their chazaka was compromised, pretty much no matter what they do, we're not going to go ahead and establish their chazaka or their yichus as kohanim. Type of chav hei ve'ela my gidola chazaka. So we'll say, so what was meant by the statement of gidola chazaka? Remember, this is Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, Gidola Chazaka, see how great Chazaka is. So what power of Chazaka is Rabbi Yossi referring to? To which the Gemara answers, Meikara Acha B'Truma D'Rabbanan. Because remember, when these Kohanim were in Chutz La'aretz, when they were in Bavel, so what did they eat? They ate Truma D'Rabbanan. So why are they eating Truma D'Rabbanan? Because remember, there is no Truma D'Raisa outside of Eretz Yisrael. There is only Truma D'Rabbanan. Now, Rashi says over here, "B'truma d'rabbanan, shrei begola hayu." They were in exile. Shein sham truma min haTorah. The chomitza shitluya ba'aretz, eino noheges ela baris kedamina mikidusha. So, also remember, truma is a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. It is a mitzvah that is dependent, ultimately, again, on Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, outside of Eretz Yisrael, they were eating truma d'rabbanan and hashtabo, and they came back to Eretz Yisrael. So Nehemiah was still permitting them to go and eat truma. But what kind of truma was it? Doraisa. So thereafter, Rabbi Yossi says, you see how great Chazaka is, that since they had a Chazaka of already eating truma, we allow them to continue to eat truma. But it's not just continue to eat truma like they were eating in Chutz La'aretz, because in Chutz La'aretz, the truma d'rabbanan, the Chazaka allowed them to what? To continue to eat truma. But in Eretz Yisrael, it was Truma d'oraisa. The other possibility is hashtanami b'truma d'rabbanan achol. The other possibility is that no. When they came back to Eretz Yisrael, they were also only able to eat truma d'rabbanan. They can't start eating truma d'oraisa now. But the Gemara says, but truma d'oraisa lo achil. They were not able to eat truma d'oraisa. V'chimaskinar mitruma liyuchsin. And when we say that, according to the opinion, that if we see a kohen eating truma, that attests to his yichus, that's only when, but truma d'oraisa. That's only biblical truma. However, but truma d'rabbanan lo maskinan. But the truma d'rabbanan, that would not attest to the fact that the individual is a kohen. Ve'ela mai gedola chazaka. Aye, so if that's the case, what did Rabbi Yossi mean when he said, see how great chazaka is? Da'af agav de'ikale migzer mishum truma d'oraisa lo gazvinan. Oh, because I might have said what? Under normal circumstances, I would have said that the truth is when these kohanim came back from Bavel, they shouldn't eat truma d'rabbanan either. Do you know why? Because I should be concerned that if we let them eat truma d'rabbanan, what's going to happen? Because also remember, outside of Eretz Yisrael, where pretty much there's only truma d'rabbanan, okay, I know that I could allow them to eat this, but that's all. But in Eretz Yisrael, where there's plenty of access to Truma D'Oraisa as well, I might have thought that therefore they should not eat Truma D'Rabbanan either, lest they come to eat Truma D'Oraisa. Kamash Malan, that was not the case. That's Rabbi Yosef's Gidola Chazaka. See how great Chazaka was, that even though, again, their Kohanic Yichus was compromised, since they had a Chazaka Vidi Truma D'Rabbanan in Chutz La'aretz, we continue to allow them to eat Truma D'Rabbanan even in Eretz Yisrael. Now, one second, is that true that Nehemiah, that Ezra Nehemiah, did not permit the Kabbalah? You may well understand, it's a mind blowing idea, but during the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, when Ezra came back, how many Jews come back with Ezra? It's mind blowing. About 4,000, right? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? I mean, truth is, if we're honest with ourselves a little bit, we kind of live in the same dilemma, because Baruch Hashem, we at least live in the beginning of Geula. We have the opportunity to go back also, and yet we see it's not exactly so pashut. Even, I'm sorry?
Even from Egypt, and only a fifth came.
Right, but there you can see something that might have had to do with their own, that was also ministered by God, right? That the Gemara brings down that Kodesh Baruch Hu killed 4/5. Okay, you're right, it's true, it's not a new dynamic. But it's just interesting to note, but again, specifically what we encountered was Yichus issues with Kohanim and Levim. Shevet Levi was the big weak link, you know, I mean, the Levim were the weakest link, because Levim didn't even show up, sorry. Right, but the Levim did not even show up, right? But the Kohanim were also compromised, as you see, because of intermarriage. So the Gemara says, one second, are you telling me then that when the Kohanim came back, however many came back, that they were not permitted to eat Truma D'Oraisa? But the Pasuk says, Asher lo yochlu mikodesh hakodeshim. The Pasuk in Ezra says that Hatir Shasa said to the Kohanim who came back, you may not eat from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Mikodesh HaKadoshim utlo'achal. Now, what are Kodesh HaKadoshim? The assumption is sacrificial items, karbanos. So Hatir Shasa was telling them, you can't eat from karbanos. But we can infer from his words, the fact that only prohibited karbanos indicates to us what? That they were permitted to eat Truma D'Oraisa. To which the Gemara says, no, Hachi Kamar. This is what Hatir Shasa, this is what Nehemiah said to them. Lo b'midi the ikra kodesh, you may not eat that which is called kodesh. Now, what is called kodesh? Tchsiv v'cholzar lo yochal kodesh. They both say truma is called kodesh. So Nehemiah was saying to them, you may not eat that which was called kodesh. That in quotes over here, the pasuk, any zar, any non-kohen may not eat kodesh, and this is a reference to truma. V'lo b'midi di ikrei kadoshim, and you may not eat anything that is called kachim, that is called kachim. To sin, now what things of something called kachim? Ubas kohen ki siyel ish zar, he betrumas hakadoshim lo sochal. The pasuk says that when the daughter of a kohen marries a non-kohen, she may no longer continue to eat of sacrificial parts. So also what the Gemara essentially answers is that we thought that when Nehemiah said that the Kohanim may not eat of Kodesh Kadoshim, we thought that was one thing. The Gemara is answering, no, Kodesh Kadoshim is two things. Kodesh means Truma D'Oraisa, and Kadshim or Kadoshim means sacrificial items. The Amar Mar, and Mar said, Bemuram mina Kadoshim lo sochal, that she may not eat, that they may not eat, or she may not eat, that which is raised up from the sacrificial items. Fine. So therefore, again, the Gemara is conclusively proven, according to Rabbi Yossi, that the chazaka of the Kohanim allowed them to continue to eat Truma D'Rabbanan, because that's what they were eating in Bavel. What's the chiddush of that? The chiddush of that is that we're not concerned that if we allow them to eat Truma D'Rabbanan, they'll come to what? They'll come to eat Truma D'Oraisa. Fine. Tashma. So we'll say back, we're still in this sugi about trying to figure out what type of Kohanic behaviors give proof to a Kohen's Yichus. Toshma, Chazaka lekahuna, Nesios kapayim bebavel, Va'achilas chala besuria. So we'll say in Bavel, if we see a Kohen duchening, that is a good raya, that is a good proof that he in fact is a Kohen. And in Surya, now we'll say, remember, where is Surya? So Surya, Rashi points out, is Aram Tsova. Surya is an area that was conquered by David HaMelech and ultimately annexed to Eretz Yisrael. So take a look. So in Surya, if you see someone eating challah, right? Remember again, challah refers to the Kohanic portion separated from the dough. So the Maaseh, that's also a raya that he's a Kohen. Now we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Now why this distinction? So remember again, now you have the Braisa telling me that if I see a Kohen duchening in Bavel, that's a raya that he's a Kohen. Haro'ehu no se kapav b'bavel meyid ala b'chomakum shu Kohen. If you see someone duchening in Bavel, that's a good proof that they're a Kohen. Lefi sheyesh sham yeshiva, ubeis din kavua, Botkin achar nosek apayim. Aval achilas chalut truma ina chazak. The chutzla aris lav doraisa truma dilei. Velo kapti kodei. So we'll say in Bava there's a yeshiva. And in Bava there was established Beis Din. So what happened? Any guy who would go ahead and get up to Duchen, what would happen? Beis Din would investigate him. So therefore, if somebody's duchening in Bavel, that is a pretty good indication that he's been vetted. And lemais, you could rely on the fact that he's a good kohen. But however, if you see someone eating truma or challah in Bavel, that's not a good ride that he's a kohen. Why? Because remember, it's only d'rabbanan. So the fact that somebody may be eating something that is rabbinically prohibited, that's not a ride that they're a kohen. On the other hand, Rashi goes on. V'achilas challah b'suria. Rashi says he aram sova shekib shadavid v'chibro le'aretz v'kasar ha'itana kibush yachod shmei kibush. So we'll say, when David HaMelech conquered Aram Tzova, Surya, there was a big machlokes about what he annexed it to Eretz Yisrael, but the shaila was, does it have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael or not? So there's a fundamental machlokes in the Gemara. One opinion says no. Why? Because Kibush Yachad Lo Shmei Kibush. David did not ask the Sanhedrin about going to war. This was not a Klal Yisrael war. This was a territorial war that King David chose to wage on his own. I mean, it was fine. He's entitled to do that. But it's not called the conquest of Klal Yisrael. It's called the conquest of King David. As such, any annexing of land that was not done as an initiative of the klal of the nation, that land does not have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. The other opinion says, no, not true. Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush. Anything the king of Israel does has the status of being a national endeavor. Therefore, Aram Tzova is part of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. What's the nafkamina? What's the practical difference? The practical difference is there Truma D'Rabbanan or Truma D'Oraisa? So the opinion over here holds that Kibush Yachid Shmei Kibush, that the annexing of land done by the king has the status ultimately of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, there's Truma D'Oraisa in Aram Tzova, and therefore, or in Surya. Therefore, if you see someone eating Truma in a Surya, that is a good proof that they are indeed a Kohen. The Chiluk Matanos Bekrachin. And similarly, another proof would be Chiluk Matanos. I will say Chiluk Matanos means literally the dispensation or the dispensing of the Kohanic gifts. Rashi says, Dehazroav Aleichayim. This refers to the chest and the leg of sacrificial animals. Bekrachin. Literally in the cities. In the cities. Fine. So the Gemara says the following. So if you look at Rashi's mom, krachin va'afak of the Yisurin ain Israel Zarim, holu krachin makum shukim hain, umutsuim bo overim v'shavim ha'makirim bo, ilav the coin hava lo machtzef in Israel. I'll say in the cities, since there are a lot of people, and a lot of we'll call it pedestrian traffic, if people see someone eating Kohanic gifts and he's not a Kohen, they're going to say something. If they're allowing him to go ahead and eat the Kohanic gifts, that's an indication that he's a Kohen. So therefore, if you duchen in Bavel, or if you eat challah in Surya, or if you eat of the sacrificial parts of a Kohen in the cities, those are all indications of your yichus as a Kohen. Katani mihas nesias kabayim. Now we'll say, so what are we focusing on over here? We see here that what? That duchening does work, at least in Bavel, to establish a yichus. My lovely yuchsan, we're not talking about yuchsan. To which the Gemara says, lo l'truma. No, we're not talking about yichus. What it means is that if you see someone eat, if you see someone duchening in Bavel, then Rabbi say, what does that allow for? That allows ultimately to give that person truma. You can probably give that person truma. One second. But is not duchening the same thing as or compared to the case of eating challah in Surya? Katani ma achilas challah yuchsin. Just like the consumption of challah in Surya lends credence to one's yichus af nesias kapayim liyuchsin. So too, again, we should be talking about duchening, establishing your yichus. To which the Gemara says, no, lo achilas challah gufal truma. No, it's not true. In fact, again, even when we say that if you see someone eating challah in Surya, that is a proof to their Kohanic status. Kohanic status means vis-a-vis truma. That you could, if you see someone eating challah in Surya, you could also give them truma. Kasavra challah bizman azed d'rabanan. Utruma da'araisa. Umaskinon mechala d'rabanan l'truma da'araisa. All because this opinion holds that I both say that challah bizman azed is d'rabanan. Right, the obligation that you have to separate challah from the dough is rabbinic, but yet truma is still d'oraisa. Truma is still d'oraisa, and the novelty over here is that if we see someone eating rabbinic challah, we allow them based on that to now eat biblical truma. And this is as Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yoshua switched things around for the Rabbanan. So we're going to see that later on. Tashma. So we'll say another braisa. that if you want to establish a chazaka for a kahuna, that somebody's a kohen, so if you see him dochening, or chiluk ranos, well, say chiluk ranos means literally the dispensing by the granaries, which refers to truma. You see someone eating truma, so those are chazaka, those create a chazaka of someone's kahuna in Eretz Yisrael. This is in Eretz Yisrael. And I will say, it's the same idea, by the way, as we saw before in Bavel, that since in Eretz Yisrael there are established batei din, if Beis Din sees someone going ahead and duchening, they're going to check into this. And again, therefore, if somebody continues to duchen, that's an indication that they've been vetted. And Rashi points out over here that this opinion is going according to the Ma'adam, who says that truma is doraisa. So therefore, if you see someone eating truma doraisa, someone duchening, that's a good proof of their chronic status. Ubesuria, ubechomokom sheshluchei roshei chodesh magin, nesiyah Kapayim Raya, Avalo Chiluk Granos. But I will say in Surya and in any other place where Shluchi Rosh Chodesh, remember going back to our Rosh Hashanah days, where Beis Din, after they declared the new month, would send out Shluchim. So they would send out messengers. So remember, they wouldn't send out messengers everywhere. They'd only send out messengers to places that could be reached usually by the 15th of the month. So anywhere where messengers reach, which Rabbi Osei means that there's almost some kind of quasi Beis Din set up. So any place, so if Kohen duchens, that's a raya, that's a good proof that he's a Kohen. Avalo chiluk granos, but again, not eating truma, because Rabbi Osei, this opinion holds that truma's chutz la'aretz, right, is still going to be drabanan. Ubavel, or I should say differently, let me say that differently. Everybody agrees that truma's chutz la'aretz is drabanan. That Surya is kibush yachid lo shmei kibush, that the conquering and annexing of Surya does not give it the status of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the truma of Surya is only derabanan. Ubavel ki Surya, and Bavel is just like Surya. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Av Alexandria shel Mitzrayim berishona mipnei shebezdin kivuan sham. Even Alexandria of Egypt, of yesteryear, in the beginning, right, also has this same status. Why? Because there's a Beis Din that is set up there. So we'll say, what you see also here from here is that anywhere where there's a Beis Din that's set up, so it appears that duchening will create a raya of one's Kohanic status, because wherever there is a set Beis Din, bless you, so if Beis Din sees someone duchening, they're always going to investigate to make sure that person is a bona fide Kohen. Katani Mihas, I will say, and I want to take away from all of this, this is Kapayim. Right, you see from here that duchening does work to attest to someone's Kohanic status. My love, Liuchsin. Now, we're not talking about the fact that duchening will establish one's status vis-a-vis Yichos. Lo, the Gemara says, no, it's not for Yichos. Rather, Lechala. It's to allow a Kohen to eat Chala. Gemara says, one second, what are you talking about? Haddami dechila granos katani. But one second, is not duchening comparable to the case of where you see the person eating truma? Machila granos liyuchsin. Just like we said before, that if you see someone eating truma in Eretz Yisrael, where it's truma d'oraisa, that's a proof for his yichos. Af nesiyas kapayim liyuchsin. So too, when the Gemara says that duchening is a proof, is it not for yichos as well? To which the Gemara answers, no. Lo chiluk granos gufal lachala. Excuse me, chiluk granos gufa lechala. No, it's not true. Even when we said before that if a person goes ahead and eats truma, that's a raya that he could eat chala, kasavar truma bizman azed derabanan, vechala doraisa. Because the Bosa, this opinion holds that truma bizman azed derabanan, chala bizman azed doraisa. And the chiddush is what? Umaskinan mit truma derabanan lechala doraisa. And we allow someone to go from eating truma derabanan. If we already see that person eating truma derabanan, that's enough of a proof to allow him to eat chala doraisa. Uki de ashkechinhu Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yoshua derabanan. And when Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yoshua found derabanan, the Am Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yoshua, ashkechinhu derabanan bebei Rav. The Yasi Vikahamri. So Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yoshua says, I once found the rabbis in the yeshiva of Rav, in the house of Rav, and they were sitting and they were saying the following. Afil lamando amar truma bizman azed derabanan. Even according to the opinion who holds that truma bizman azed derabanan, chala d'araisa. Chala still d'araisa. Now where do we get that from? Shaharei. Zayin shekivshu v'zayin shechilku. Nischayvu b'chala v'nischayvu b'tshuva. Because Rav Huna, interestingly enough, the halacha is that for the 14 years of the conquest of Yoshua, the 7 years in which they conquered the land and the 7 years in which they divided the land, the Jews were obligated in chala, but were not obligated in truma. So what do you see from here? If you look, well, actually, Fine. Va'aminu luhu. Let's actually go. Well, actually, take a quick look at Rashi. Nischayvu b'chala d'chsib b'vo'achem ala aretz. Because we'll see when it comes to chala, the obligation of chala is phrased as when you come to the land, which indicates to us immediately upon entry into the land of Israel. Chayv and chala. V'tanya b'sifra b'shmal omer shina hakasa b'yuzam k'ol b'yusha b'torah. Skip down to next Rashi. So he says lamdecha shekeva shenichnasu la nischayvu. As soon as you enter the land, you chayv and chala. Below. Nischayvu b'tshmos u'maisos d'chsev d'gancha tivuas zarecha hamiyuchedes lecha. Because the Bosai, the pasuk says over there that by tshmos and maisos, you have to take it from your grain and from the wheat of your field. The idea over here is that it has to be your field. When is it your field? Only after the land has been conquered and the land has been divided. So the Gemara goes right. So the Gemara says, "Va'aminu luhu." I said to him, "Remember, this is now Rav Huna bar Rav Yoshua talking." Va'aminu luhu. Anav d'Rabba. I would say just the opposite. I feel the man that Truma is Benazir d'Araisa. Even according to the man who says that Truma today is biblically obligated, Chala d'Rabbanon. I still think that Chala is only rabbinically obligated. Why? This Sanya, because we learned Bevoachem Ela Aretz. The pasuk says, "Remember, Rabbo say the Rabbanon wanted to say that Chala is d'Araisa." Why? Because it just says when you come to the land. It doesn't require you to own the land, have autonomy in the land, just when you come to the land. So Rav Huna bar Rav Yoshua says a little bit differently. The pasuk says when you come to the land, Ibevoachem, Yachal Mishanichnes Ula, Shnayim Mushloshim Raglim. I might have thought is when you come into the land, means you don't even need the entire nation, but rather what? Even when just two or three spies come in, that's going to be enough to allow for the obligation of Chala to kick in. Talmud Lomar Bevoachem. Therefore, the pasuk says, "When you come, bevias kulchem amarti v'lo bevias miktaschem." They both say, "When is there an obligation of challah? Only when, the majority." Now, it literally means all of the people, but all of the people never means all of the people. All of the people instead means the majority of the people. In order for the obligation of challah to be triggered, the majority of Klal Yisrael must be in Eretz Yisrael. V'lo bevias miktaschem. V'chi askinu Ezra. And when Ezra brought the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael, top of Chapei Amudbeis, Lav Kulhu Salik. Remember again, as we said before, nowhere near the majority of Klal Yisrael came. Rashi actually points out over here, Ruba Nishru B'Bavel, the majority of Jews stayed in Bavel, D'chsiv Kolaka Al Ke'echad Arba Revo. We'll say 4,000 Jews came back. It's hard to imagine this, but 4,000 Jews of an entire nation came back with Ezra to Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, more came back, a little more came back later on, but they will call it the first wave of Aliyah was 4,000 people with Ezra. So both sides. So therefore, again, Rav Huna bar Rav Yoshua suggests that Chala Bizman Hazeh is definitely Dirabanan. Chala Bizman Hazeh is Dirabanan because Chala is only Dirais when you have the majority of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. So Tashma. So we'll say the Gemara goes weiter. So we'll say I'll just tell you this just very quickly. What's the halacha? Because this actually is important with challah and truma bizman hazeh. So the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Yeridei Hilchos Truma Semaisros Simin Shin Lamed Aleph Sif Beis. The Shulchan Aruch writes bizman hazeh afilu b'makom shechziku bo olei bava afilu b'mei Ezra ein chiyuv truma semaisros min haTorah. So the way we paskin today is that the trumas and maestros that we have today, this is an Eretz Yisrael, the trumas and maestros that we have are trumas and maestros d'rabbanan. There is only a rabbinic obligation for trumas and maestros. Why? Mipnei shene'emar ki savo. The Torah says, when you will come to the land, mashma bias kulchem v'lo bias miktsasan. In order for there to be an obligation, Moshe has an amazing idea. In order for there to be a biblical obligation of Shumas and Maestros, you must have the majority of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, which also just, if we had more time, we can get into this. But what it really says is the true potential and holiness of Eretz Yisrael is only unlocked when Klal Yisrael is there. The land, of course, has certain independent Kedusha, but it's only when the majority of the Klal is there that the full Kedusha, the full wave of Kedusha, ultimately is unlocked. Therefore, again, Halacha L'Maisa, because the majority of Klal Yisrael is not in Eretz Yisrael, therefore, Trumos and Maestros are only Dirabanan. Halavai, we should get there. Now, what's interesting is the following. Okay, so there's more to discuss on that, but similarly, again, in Chala, Ein Chayavim B'Chala Mina Torah, Ella Be'Eretz Yisrael Bilvat. So there is no biblical obligation in Chala, except in Eretz Yisrael. Shnei Emar, V'Haya Ba'ach Lecham Ilecham Aretz, U'Bizman Shekol Yisrael Sham. Shnei Emar, B'Vo'achem, Bias kolchem v'lo bias mitzaschem. Same halacha by challah. There is only a biblical obligation of challah when there is a majority of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, lefichach Chala bizman hazeh, afilu b'nei Ezra b'Eretz Yisrael, eina ela midivreim. Therefore, again, contemporarily, presently, chala, even in Eretz Yisrael, is only dirabanan. So both halacha l'maisa, both chala and truma share the same designation. Both are presently dirabanan in Eretz Yisrael. And again, for the same exact reason, because both are only biblically obligated when the majority of Klal Yisrael resides in Eretz Yisrael. Fine. Vector. Obviously, I'm not doing that halacha justice, but I just want to give you a little bit of just halachic clarity on it. Tashma. Chazaka lekohen nesias. Come on, we'll say, so we're still trying to figure this out. Remember, what is it exactly that attests to a kohen status? So, now the Gemara says, chazaka for a kohen is duchening. The chiluk, meaning if kohen duchens, that's a good chazaka that he's a kohen. The chiluk granus. Similarly, again, if he gets truma, if he's given truma. The edus. And testimony, now we'll say, sounds like testimony says that two witnesses show up and they say two things. And we'll say, Rashi points out, you need two things. It's not, you see, we think in order to establish someone as a kohen, what do you have to do? You have to show up in Beis Din and say, oh, I know his father was a kohen. But we'll say, we know saying that his father is a kohen is not enough to establish his kohenic identity. Why? Because a father could easily mess up his kids depending on who he marries. I mean, it's true in general. But you know, again, it's not just a kohenic statement. But the idea over here is, so you need to attest to two things. Number one, that the father is a kohen. Number two, that this man's mother was a woman who was fit to marry into the kohuna. So that's edus. So Gemara says, what are you talking about? Edus chazaki? So I'll say, the Brisa says something very interesting. The Brisa says, if you want to establish a chazaka, that someone's a kohen, so how do you do that? You know that they duchint, or you know that they eat truma, or there was edus. The Gemara says, well, if there was edus, that's not a chazaka. If there was edus, then what is that? Then that's a bona fide reality, right? If edim show up and say, we know that this guy's father was a kohen and that his mother was fit to marry his father, that's not a chazaka that he's a kohen. Then he's a kohen. So the Gemara says, what does it mean, edus chazaki? Elalav hachikamer. This is what it means to say, nesias kapayim ki edus. If you see someone duchening, that's like receiving testimony that he's a kohen. Nesias kapayim, I'm sorry. Nesias kapayim ki edus. Ma edus liuchsin. Just like Rabbi Sayyid, witnesses show up and attest to who this man's father and mother were, so that could establish his kohanic status, his yichus. So too, if you see someone duchening, that also establishes their yichus. To which the Gemara says, no, that's not true. Lo, edus haba mikoa chazaka ki chazaka. No, rather, what it means is like this, that if you have edus that comes from the koach of a chazaka, that's like chazaka. What does it mean? Say, if you take a look at Rashi, edus haba mikoa chazaka ki chazaka, ha edus nekabel vena achilo b'truma kilura inhu anon la osa chazaka shezeh eid. Say, what this means is, if you have witnesses that show up and say, we saw Reuven eating truma, or we saw Reuven duchening, then what? That's as if we saw him ourselves, and that establishes a chazaka that he's a kohen. So meaning, if you don't see the kohanic behaviors, but you get testimony about the kohanic behaviors, that also establishes his chazaka as a kohen. The Gemara gives a story. Ki Ahud Asla Kamed Rabbi Ami. So also now the Gemara tells a couple of different episodes. Like that individual who came before Rabbi Ami. Amarle Muchsakani Bazeshu Kohen. And Rabbi Ami said, I'm pretty sure about this guy that he's a Kohen. Amarle, excuse me, well, let me say it differently. There was a man who came before Rabbi Ami, and the man gave testimony. Amarle Muchsakani Bazeshu Kohen. So we'll call him aid. The witness shows up and says, I'm pretty sure, I have a chazaka that Reuben's a Kohen. Amarle Mara Isa. So Rabbi Ami said to the witness, "Nu, what did you see that makes you say he is a Kohen? Amarle Shekar Rishon Besaknesses. Right? He got Rishon in Shul. You got the first aliyah. So Rabbi Ami says, one second. Becheska shu kohen or becheska shu god. Rabbi says, remember the Gemara Maseches Megillah that you're permitted to give a Talmud Chacham Rishon. Right? You're permitted to go ahead and give the Talmud Chacham the first aliyah. So how do you know that he got it before because he's a kohen? Maybe he got that first aliyah because he is a gadol. She'ok. The Gemara answers, Shekara Acher of Levi. Because ultimately they went ahead and they called a Levi after. Now, Bosei, now Tosas points out something very interesting over here. This is actually halacha lemaisa, because this comes up. What happens? It doesn't come up in our shul, Baruch Hashem, because we are blessed with an abundance of kohanim. But sometimes you'll see if there's not a kohen, so what's the halacha? So you do not give a Levi Rishon, but rather you give anyone Rishon. Once you give anyone Rishon, then what? There's no obligation for Levi second, meaning the obligation to give Levi Aliyah number two is only triggered by giving kohen Aliyah number one. If there's no kohen in the first slot, there's no obligation for Levi. I mean, technically, you could give the Levi the first Aliyah, give anyone you want the first Aliyah. There's not. So therefore, the man says, Rabbi Ami, because after they gave this guy Rishon, they called up a Levi afterwards, which would indicate indicate that they weren't giving him that first Levi because he's a Gadol, because if he was a Gadol, they wouldn't have to call up a Levi second, but they were giving it to him because he was a Kohen. So, v'helu Rabbi Ami lekuna apiv, Rabbi Ami established him as a Kohen based on this testimony. And I will say, remember again, so when we say this establishing as a Kohen, so lav dafka, that it's for Yichus purposes, but it at least gives him a cheskas kahuna. Hahud asked me, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, so there was another man who came before Rabbi, another Wade, a witness who came before Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Amarle, Muchsekani Bazeh, Shehu Levi. Ah, so we'll say, the Levim are now getting their part. So what happens? We have a chazaka that this, and the witness comes. I have a chazaka that this person is a Levi. Amalei Ma Rois. So Rabbi Shimon Levi says, what did you see? The major say this. Amalei Shekar Shinim Beisakna says, oh, he got the second aliyah in Shul. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi asked, Becheska Shul Levi Becheska Shul Gadol. Is that because he was a Levi? Maybe he's a Gadol, right? Meaning, again, the halacha also is that you can give a Gadol, you can give a Talmud Chacham, Sheni also, to which the Eidah to Shekar Lefan of Kohen. No, because again, a Kohen got the first Aliyah. So if the Kohen got the first Aliyah, and they're giving them the Levi, they're giving this guy, secondly, that's the indication that he's a Levi. V'he'alu Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, the Leviya Alpiv. And Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi established him as a Levi based on his testimony.
Why is there no suspicion that somebody would, the same way they would go up and do it, even if they're not a Kohen, that they would take an Aliyah or Levi? Why is that a different status?
Oh, so it seems to be it's the same idea as duchening. That just like at the end of the day, the reason why duchening establishes some level of chazaka is because we assume lo chatzif inish. A person is not going to be so ridiculously such a brazen liar and get up to do something. A person is not going to take the first aliyah if they're not a kohen, not going to take the second aliyah if they're not a lady. That's the underlying assumption. I will say, I want to be clear over here. Remember, establishing the status, this doesn't mean really for yichos, right? This would probably be like for truma derabanan, for maisa derabanan, lav dafka, that this would establish them in a biblical sense. I'm sorry? Right, get a little bit more kiddish, right? Get the first portion of the coin, gets the first portion at the meal. So the Gemara tells another story. Who does like Ish Lakish? There was another man who came before Ish Lakish. Amarle Muchsekani Bazeshu Kohen. And the aide gave testimony. He said, this guy, Ruvain, I have a chazaku that he's a coin. Amarle Marois. Ish Lakish said, what did you say they make you say this? Amarle Shkarishan Vesaknesas. He got the first aliyah. Amarle Reisiv Shechilik Alagranas. But okay, you saw that he got the first aliyah. Did you ever see that anyone gave him truma? Right, meaning, did you ever see that he ate Shuma? Amalur Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar is standing there. Rabbi Lazar is standing there. And what happens? Rabbi Lazar says, Reish Lakish, V'im ein sham goren, bat la kahuna. And tell me, and if there was no granary, if there was no truma, so suddenly there's no kahuna. In other words, but what Rabbi Lazar was saying to Reish Lakish was, why do you make someone's establishing of his Kohanic identity fully dependent on Truma? Right? Why can't other behaviors establish one's Kohanic identity? So that's the end of that story. Pause. Zinnin havu yasvi kamed Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say another time, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Lazar were sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Asa ki ha maisa likame. So what happened? This same type of episode came before Rabbi Yochanan. Came before Rabbi Yochanan. So what happened? Meaning a guy shows up and says, witness shows up and says, I want to testify about Reuven that he is a Kohen. So what happened? And again, Reish Lakish asked him, tell me, how did you know? How did you see it? So he said, because I saw him get Rishon. Amr Reish Lakish, Reisav Shechilek ala Goren. So Reish Lakish said, tell me, Reish Lakish said to the witness, did you see him eat Truma? Amrali Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, "Vim ein sham goren bat la kahuna." And if there's no granary, right? What? There's no kahuna. Meaning, just because you don't see someone get truma, that they're not a kohen. So we'll say, listen to this. Hadar chaze Rabbi Lazar bishus. Reish Lakish gave Rabbi Lazar a very dirty look. I will say, now remember again, in the previous exchange, Rabbi Lazar said this same thing to Reish Lakish. Now remember again, meaning that if there's no granary, there's no kahuna. Remember, I will say, Rabbi Lazar and Reish Lakish were both Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. Now it turns out that what? It turns out that when Rabbi Lazar said that, so Rabbi Lazar was not quoting himself, but rather Rabbi Lazar was quoting his Rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan, but yet Rabbi Lazar did not quote it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish is now upset at Rabbi Lazar that you made this line. This was your line. It wasn't your line. It was Rabbi's line. So Amar Shamas, so the Gemara said, Rabbi Lazar, Amar Shamas Mili Debar Nafcha, the Lo Amar Tlan Mishmei. Reish Lakish, Rabbi Lazar, you heard things in the name of the blacksmith. We'll say the blacksmith is Rabbi Yochanan. They call Rabbi Yochanan the blacksmith for a number of reasons. Either A, because literally he was a blacksmith, right? Remember again, times in the Gemara, he had the greatest Tamidi Chachamim, again, who just held down day jobs. Either A, he was a blacksmith, or because his Torah was so good that he blackened the face, meaning no one else could hold a candle to him. Their faces were blackened in his presence. Rabbi Rav Chiya. So we'll say, Rabbi Rav Chiya, Chad he'ela api aviv l'kuhuna, v'chad he'ela api achiv l'leviya. So we'll say, Rabbi and Rav Chiya, one established a person as a Kohen based on the testimony of the person's father, and one established a man as a Levi based on the testimony of his brother. Tistayim de Rebbe, de heala ben api av lakuna. So let's establish that it was Rebbe who went ahead and established a man's status as a Kohen based on the testimony of that man's father. Disanya, because most of we had a Braisa. Hare Shabava Amar Benizev a Kohen who, if a man comes along and says, this child or this man is my son, and he's a Kohen. So what's the halacha? Ne'eman la'achila b'truma. He is believed in that now this man is permitted to eat truma. Ve'eno ne'eman la'asio isha. But he is not believed to marry him off to a woman who has good lineage. Now what does that mean? So if I show up and I say, this is my son and he's a Kohen, I am believed in terms of establishing that he's my son and that he's a Kohen for Truma purposes, but I'm not believed for what? For Yichus purposes, which Rabbi says is a theme we've seen over and over, that really to establish Yichus, you need more formal edus, so something more substantiated. Divrei Rebbe, these are the words of Rebbe. Amar lo Rebbe Chiya, im ata ma'amina la'achila b'truma ta'amina la'asiyah isha. So Rebbe Achaya said, I don't understand. If you go ahead and you believe him, to allow, meaning if you believe the person giving testimony about his son, that he's his son and he's a Kohen, if you're going to believe him to eat truma, so believe him for Yichus' purpose is also to marry him off to a woman. Vim i'ata ma'amina la'asiyah isha. And if you don't believe him for Yichus' purposes to allow him to marry a woman of unblemished Yichus, then what? Lo sa'aminu la'achal b'truma. Then don't believe him for truma purposes as well. To which Rebbe responded, Armalei, ani ma'amino la'achilo b'truma, shebiyodo la'achilo b'truma. Rabbi, I'll tell you very simple. When a man shows up and says, this is my son, and he's a Kohen, so he believed the man. Why? Because that man himself who's testifying is also established as a Kohen, and he's already eating truma. Therefore, he has the truma in his possession, and therefore he has the ability to give this child, his son, truma. Ve'ini ma'amino la'asiyah isha, but I do not believe him, legabe, establishing his yichos and marrying him off to a woman of unblemished lineage, she'ein biyado la'asiyah isha, because ultimately, again, he does not possess the ability to marry him off to a woman. In other words, we both say that when we believe someone, we believe someone in terms of matters that they have some level of control over. So because the father, quote-unquote, is already established as a Kohen, already in possession of the truma, and has the ability already to give his son that truma. Therefore, if he testifies, this is my son, and he's a Kohen, we believe him. But in terms of marrying him off to another person, to a woman of unblemished lineage, which involves now someone else, so just the solitary, the edus of this father about his son is not enough to establish yichus. Therefore, the Gemara says, tistayim. Therefore, it is clear that it must be Rebbe who was the one who allowed a man to be established as a Kohen on the basis of the testimony of his father. And therefore, umid Rebbe he'ela ben api aviv lakuna, and therefore I will say, just working my process of elimination, if it was Rebbe who allowed a man to be considered a Kohen based on the testimony of his father, it must have been then Rebbe Chiya, he'ela ach api achiv l'leviya. Therefore, it must have been Rebbe Chiya who allowed the testimony of a brother to go ahead and establish his brother as a Levi. So we'll say, all right, let's just... Let me just read one more line and then we'll stop for today. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Chiya Mashna Ben Delo. So we'll say, so here's what's interesting. Now, what appears over here is that the Gemara is making a distinction that Rebbe allowed for the testimony of a father to establish a son as a Kohen. Rabbi Chiya allowed for the testimony of a brother to establish his fellow brother as a Levi. So the Gemara infers from that Rabbi Chiya did not accept the testimony from a father about his son. Why not? To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Chiya, Maishna ben Delo, Tekarofu. Oh, because the father isn't believed to testify about his son. Why? Because the father is a Karofu, the father is related. And therefore, again, a relative can't give testimony about his fellow relative. Only one problem with that, the Gemara says, which is what? Ach Nami Karofu. a brother is also considered a karov, and therefore, how could a brother give testimony about the other? To which, excuse me, ach nami karov hu etz achiv. To which the Gemara says on top of chavav b'masiach lefitumo. Because what's the case over here? The case over here is where he gave information of his own volition. And I'll say, if you give information of your own volition without being prodded, that information has like an independent truthfulness to it. Mar says, for an example, kiha, let's just finish with this. Kiha d'am Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel, like Rav Yehuda said, name is Shmuel. There was once a man who gave information of his own volition. Rabbi said, Masiach lefitumo literally means, Masiach means to converse, lefitumo of his own volition. There was once a man who said the following, listen to this. I remember that when I was a child, there's a man talking. I remember that when I was a child, so, Merkav al Kasefo shal Abba, I used to go on the shoulders of my father, right? It's a beautiful childhood record. I was on the shoulders of my father. Right? I will say, what does every single kid remember? Every single kid remember? Right? My father took me out of school, right? I remember again, my father took me out of school. And my father took me to the mikvah. And what did he do? He immersed me in the mikvah. And I remember we went home that night and we ate truma. And Rav Chiya's version, there was more to the testimony. The kid remembers, I remember I had friends who stayed away from me, right? I had friends, ultimately, again, who wouldn't come in contact with me. So they were probably amaratzim, not a derogatory term, but just the reality, right? They were amaratzim who perhaps were amia aretz, who were not careful with tumantara. Yochanan ochel chalos. And they used to call me in the playground Yochanan the Chale Eater. Right? So remember, this is a kid who's showing up to Beis Din. He doesn't know that he's a Kohen. I don't know what my status. I can just tell you this childhood recollection. I remember this happened to me as a kid. Ve'elu Rabbi Lekuhuna Alpiv. And Rabbi established him as a Kohen based on this testimony. Both say, so this the Gemara's answer is Gemara's bringing down this story as an example of Masiach Lefitumo. This child was giving this information again of his own volition, which ultimately, whenever somebody gives information of their own volition, lends to the veracity of their claim. Therefore, Rabbi Chiya, and when he allows the case of a brother testifying about another brother, that was not a case of formal based in testimony, but rather again, Masiach Lefitumo is freely just giving of this information, and therefore, again, even though he is a Karov, he is believed. All right, the Bosley will stop over here. A little bit, although, correct. Anytime you offer information of your own accord, it has a...